Be'ez Hashem, we are now beginning our Monday night Parsha Shir, Parsha's Emor. It's tonight, it's Yud Iyar, Tav Shin Pei, corresponding with the English calendar, May 4th, 2020. Before I begin this Shir, I just want to alert everybody that this coming Friday is Pesach Sheni. Minhag Yisrael is to eat a piece of matzah as a memory of the Korban Pesach that was slaughtered for those people who were tamei and couldn't observe the original Pesach, Korban Pesach, and we don't say tachnin on that day as well. And now we begin the shir. The pasuk begins at the very beginning of the parasha. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, "Emor el haKohanim bnei Aharon, say to the Kohanim, the sons of Aharon, ve'amarta aleihem, and say to them, Lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav. You shall not defile your nefesh to any body who passes away." To whom? Kiyim l'sheirei hakorav elav, only to a relative that's very close to you, le'imo, to his mother, ula'aviv, and to his father, v'livno, and to his son, ulavito, and to his daughter, ula'achiv, v'la'achoso ha'besula hakorav elav, and also his sister who is next to him, close to him, asher lo ha'yisa le'ish, who has not yet married to another family, lo yitamar. To her you shall be become tamei. So right now, the parasha talks about how important it is for Kohanim to be spiritually clean, because they're going to be working in the Mishkan, and therefore they should refrain from any kind of tumah except for the seven closest relatives. However, Kohen Gadol is not even allowed to become tamei to even these relatives, because he has to be in the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan all the time. The only exception to this is by a Meis Mitzvah. Now, there's an interesting thing. The beginning of the Parsha, the first Pasuk, has in it the word speak, emor, three times. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, emor el haKohanim, B'nei Aharon, v'yomarta aleihem, and you shall say to them. The language is never used three times in one pasuk. So my chaver, Rav Moshe Friedman Shlita, had explained to me that there is a very important message over here, that Rashi is telling us how the Kohanim should speak to their younger children, to their Pirchei Kahuna. What is the actual message of Emor el Kohanim? Says Rashi, Emor v'amarta lahazhir gedolim al haktanim, to instruct and to warn the younger ones by getting instruction from the older ones. The gedolim, the older ones, should properly instruct the younger ones in the way they have to remain clean and pure for the avodah. So the fact that it mentions three times with the word Omar or Amarta or Vayomer is trying to convey the message that you want to help them learn a proper behavior. Say it to them with loving care, with a convincing word, so that they'll accept what you have to say and they'll be careful that they will not become tamei. This is an instruction on how the older Kohanim should be talking to the Pirchei Kohuna, the younger Kohanim. But to bring out, by being mechanech them, is to bring out to them how special their position is, that they are so lucky to be Kohanim, and to bring out that they will, as they grow up, they will be able to make people clean again, and they will be able to teach people the right things, to instruct them the right Derech HaChaim. However, my Rosh Hashiva has taken this message and made a whole lesson in parenting. A very interesting approach and in how he presented this whole idea of how parents are to try to instruct their children in order to be able to get their attention and all, in order to be mechanic them, to train them al pi derech haTorah. So my Rosh Hashiva Rav Chaim Dov Keller Shlita in the Sefer Chidekel mentions over here that with the same concept of bringing out the Maila, the greatness of the Kohanim, we can do the same way with our children as well. And actually speaking, that a concept of bringing out how important Kohanim are is actually the thoughts of the Ramban, and how he wanted the parents to speak of the greatness of being a Kohen. With that same idea, my Rosh Hashiva is saying, we have to bring out to our children how special we B'nai Yisrael, we B'nai Torah are. And with that in mind, we would be successful in giving them direction of how and which way they should be paving their future. They should hear from us that we are a Mamlechus Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, we are a special people, we are an Am Segula, we are so dear by Hashem, that Hashem in Pirkei Avos, for some of you might recall, that Hashem endears us specially. We are called over here, we're Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenikra Vonim Lamokoim, we're special dear to Hashem, because we're His children. Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenit Elohim Kli Chemda, Hashem gave us a Torah. He gave us not just a gift, but He has given us a GPS through life. He gave us a way how to live. He gave us a map through life. And this we have to impart to our children, how special we are, that we are B'nai Yisrael, and that we have a Torah. And then we have to try to inculcate this message to our children. And by doing that, also bring out how careful we must be by avoiding the negativity beyond our homes because of what's available with all the media and the gadgets that are surrounding us and enveloping us. And that way, you, by a parent showing this to his children, this would be a starting point in where the children could be able to have what to strive for, to look up, to become special people. Having said, if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about how the parashios in Vayikra are building up in order to help us become a Migdash Ma'at, a mobile Migdash, like we brought it out from the Sifurna, that the Jew is really a mobile Migdash, and therefore he has to be careful on how he speaks, he has to be careful on what he does, and he has to be careful on how he thinks. And all this is in preparation of making the Ben Yisrael a Migdash Ma'at. In light of that, we are now trying to make our children into a Migdash Ma'at. We're trying to make our children follow the same path and do the same way so that they themselves will be able to be prepared for the role of becoming dedicated and sincere Torah Jews. Now, this borders a very, very serious subject that is very difficult for me to really thoroughly explain, because after we have tried our best in promoting the positive essence of being a Ben Torah, being a Ben Yisrael, and how lucky we are that we have a future, we have an Olam Haba, and we have so many beautiful mitzvahs that we are commanded to do, there is the opposite side of the spectrum, and that is the concept of Chilul Hashem. Chil Hashem is a very, very serious aveira. And it's an aveira that so many of us, knowingly or unknowingly, willingly or unwillingly, are somehow or sometimes caught into it and involved. And we know that the kapara will only come when we do tshuva and with Yom HaMisa, when we have to part from this world and go up to Olam Haba. But to be able to get the essence and the feeling of what this is all about, the Chofetz Chaim brings down on this parsha, on the pasuk, and I'll quote you the pasuk. The pasuk it says like this: after it says, "Ushmarta mitzvayi vasisem osam ani Hashem," you shall guard my mitzvos and you shall do them. I am Hashem. V'lo sachalu Hashem kachi, do not desecrate my holy name. V'nigdashi b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and you are to sanctify me among the Jewish people. Ani Hashem mekadishchem. This is a very frightening pasuk. It's in this parasha, and we're going to read it Shabbos. And it's an obligation upon us to think about what it means and what it has to do with us. And being that we are parents, how are we going to bring it to the level of our children? Let me read you a part of the Chofetz Chaim, which speaks about this, and on this pasuk it says the following: the Sefer Yireyim, the Rabbeinu Eliezer Mimitz, in Mitzvah Vav, it says, "As Hashem Elokecha Tira, on the commandment you shall fear Hashem, v'sein kavi l'shmoi u'shmo michalo, you have to give honor to His name and guard yourself from desecrating it. D'chsev, as it says, v'lo sechalu Hashem kodshi, and you shall not desecrate my holy name," says Nav the Chofetz Chaim. Umikra zeh noike v'yored ad hatahim. This pasuk goes down to the very, very depths of Yiddishkeit. V'alav zeh yedavu kol adavavim. And from this lav of Chil Hashem, all pains and all problems and all illnesses result. Ki chilul Hashem yeshnu bekame devorim. Chilul Hashem comes in many ways. Ve'ein lehem shiur. There's no number of how many you can come up with. Shekol hamevaza afilu mitzvah achas. If one puts a shame even one mitzvah, umekol klal kavoy shemayim, and he treats lightly the honor of heaven, nikra mechal Hashem. He's called a Mechal Hashem, a desecrator of Hashem's name, and that's where he finishes his quote. I shudder to speak about this subject because I don't find myself worthy and on the level of speaking on such a serious and lofty subject. But it's Torah, and we are encouraging each other. We're talking to each other. I'm talking to myself, not just to those who are listening to me. I'm talking about how we can raise our own standard of Kedusha so that we avoid Chil Hashem as much as possible. I want to bring to light a very famous Rambam, and I'm going to quote what he mentions about Chil Hashem, which is important to hear, because all this is relevant, and all of this we can walk away with something that's important. The Rambam speaks in Yesodei HaTorah, Perikei, Halacha Yud Aleph. V'yesh devarim acherim, there are other things that Chil Hashem shem b'chlal Chil Hashem. He's going to quote you, and I will try to be brief. For who sheyasa oisam adam gadol b'teira, and if this is done by a person who is knowledgeable of teira umeforsam, and he's also well known v'chasidus with piety, devarim shabriyos meraninim achrav meshavilam, and these are things that people would follow him and will look up to him. What are the things that might be a Chil Hashem, right? So he's going to quote, for example, Kagon shalokach v'eina here. No saying demei amekach li'alter. He goes and tries to do a sale, and he doesn't pay right away. V'hu she'esh lai. He has the money to pay for it, but you know, and then the proprietor has to now chase after him to get his money. He's over eaten, indulges in food and drink. By in spending time with Amei HaAretz and he spends time with them. Or this person who is knowledgeable in Torah speaks not appropriately, not with finesse and with respect. And he doesn't show people a pleasant and cheerful disposition. He's always a person who's involved with a quarrel or angry. All depending on how big the person is. So everybody has to know he has his own measuring rod, who and how he's supposed to act. But let's take the positive side. If the chacham is medactic and he behaves benachas in mabrias, v'daita morevas in mahem, and he behaves properly and speaks kindly to other people, and he greets people with a happy countenance, he'll accept being embarrassed, but not embarrass others. He honors other people, even for those who treat him lightly. And he deals honestly in business. He doesn't spend too much time with people who are people who like to waste their time and do things which are not so important. He does what he can in learning Torah, and he wears his talus and tefillin, and he does his mitzvahs appropriately. Then what happens? People end up will praise him. People will praise him and will love him and will desire his deeds and will want to imitate him. How is a kiddush Hashem? For all of a cause of Omer, and on him the pasuk says, "Vayomeli avdi ata Yisrael asher b'chol es ba'er." You are my servant, and you, Yisrael, I will be glorified. So what the Rambam is trying to say, there are two opposite sides of the pen, of the spectrum over here. There are people who don't behave appropriately, and there are people who do. And we are all human, and we all have our challenges. And we have to try to find a happy medium so that we find ourselves honoring Hashem and not doing something which would put Hashem's honor down. This is something which is so very important. And being that we're talking about trying to be machanach children, we know the pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Chavbeis, pasuk Vav, Chanoch lanar al pi darko. We have to train our lads according to his way. Each child is different. Gam ki yaskin lo yosu mimeno, that even when he gets older, he won't veer away from it. So how does one do this? We know we have to try to, we're going to train mitzvahs, we're going to train our children not to do averus that will bring a chil Hashem. So I was thinking to myself, that what would be a happy medium over here that we could somehow attract and be successful in bringing the message to our children? And the first thing that came to my mind is good parenting is good role modeling. Whatever a parent does, he is becoming a role model. He is a role model, and he becomes a role model in everything he does for his children. And I say everything because we give children much less credit than we should. They pick up everything. They hear everything, every nuance, every sound, every action that we do, even every bit of attitude that we convey. All this children pick up. They pick it up very, very clearly, very carefully, and very, very quickly. And in trying to help train our children to make a Kiddush Hashem and not a Chillah Hashem, it begins with us. It begins with us parents. We have to find the right things to do and to say, and to be that role model in how a Jewish home is supposed to look. And it goes across the whole spectrum, whether it's even not necessary Torah behavior. It can in common social behavior, in how we talk to our spouses, how we talk to our friends. Do we make jokes that are not appropriate? Do we say things that are not necessarily true? Now, these things the children pick up, and they imitate, and it comes out in the open, even when you don't even realize it. Because I, as a teacher, I can tell you that there were years when I was teaching, not giving you a hint when or where, but I was shocked at the certain things that children said in class where it was so inappropriate, and I knew it didn't come from me. I didn't teach them to speak that way, but it comes from the home where things are more relaxed and things are done not necessarily with so much thought. And the parasha wants to teach us how we're supposed to train Kohanim, the Pirchei Kohanim, how to become really responsible Kohanim, is really teaching us also how to become responsible parents. It's very important. I can refer to, I've been listening to a husband of my Rosh Hashiva, Ram Chaim Levine Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, the former Tells of Rosh Hashiva in Chicago. How one person got up and was maspid the Rosh Hashiva by saying he was simply a gadol in pashtus, in being a simple person. He did everything what he was supposed to do. There was no ears about him. He davened not so long and didn't go ahead and kvetch every word. He davened everything he had to daven. He came on time to davening. There was never a day he was missed. Everything was normal, casual, but respectful behavior, and everybody saw that. And therefore, doing the right thing at the right time, or at least trying to do it at the right time, there is all what you have to do. It's, again, good parenting is good role modeling. And if they see that you show respect to the Torah, they see you show respect to Talmidei Chachamim, or you stop them when they say something inappropriately, and they know this is not with father and mother's approval, and they hear that, and they know it, you don't want it. Don't put that down. That's going to be embedded in their psyche. They know that if you don't like something said a certain way, they are going to know that, and they won't forget that. There are things that I do that my father doesn't even realize that I do. I'm imitating things that my father does, which is, Baruch Hashem, making me a better person. My father doesn't even realize that. I'm doing it because I watched my father do it. And I'm doing things today because of that. We should not give ourselves so little credit in what we can accomplish if we try. It's very, very important. And that's what the parsha wants us to walk away with. It wants us to walk away with proper parenting. How to be able to associate ourselves with our families, with our children, so we can bring them into this world with as B'nai Torah, as hard it is, and Hashem knows how hard it is. Hashem knows that this door is a very difficult door in raising children because of all the influences and all the distractions. But nevertheless, Hashem will help those who try. But the parsha wants to impress upon us how important it is that we have to make the effort. I remember a famous story of Shimshon Raphael Hirsch was once asked by a parent, he asked about his child, when should I start being mechanech my child? So Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch asked him, how old is your child? Oh, he's three years old. So Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch said, you are 3 years late. You should have started as soon as he's born, that you know that your house, your home should reflect the sentiments of a Torah home and the messages and the feelings and the environment which it's supposed to be. Don't think you should have thought about it 3 years ago. I'd like to close with a famous piece, a chumash that I heard also explained by Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. The piece of chumash is on the story that happened with Avraham Avinu right after the destruction of Sodom. The story goes, well, let's read some of the story and I'll explain it. The pasuk says as follows: after the stone was destroyed, the Torah says, "Vayisa misham Avram." Avram traveled from his home, Arza Negev, to the land of the south. Vayeshev ben Kadesh uvein Shur, and he settled between a city called Kadesh and between a city called Shur. Vayogar beGror, and he sojourned in the city of Geror. Sojourn means he went back and forth, back and forth. Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch makes a very interesting remark on this pasuk, and he says something's very, very strange. Avraham Avinu moved away because there is nobody passing by his tent by Eloni Mamre. If you remember the story, the story with the three malachim, and over that bit there, the malachim passed his tent. But there's no one passing by anymore because Sodom was destroyed. So he had to change, he had to move his Hachnatzas Orchim business to a new location. So where did he move it? He didn't move it in the city. He moved in no man's land. Vayeshev ben Kadesh uvein Shur, and he settled his family between Kadesh and between Shur. Vayagar begvar, and he sojourned in Geror. Why did he do that? He should have settled his family in either the Kaddish and have everybody come to his tent, or in the city of Shur, or in the Geror. Why did he do that? Says Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, a tremendous insight of Chinuch HaBanim. Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says that after he was blessed, Hasori was blessed with a child. I mean, the Malach blessed her with a child. It was yet not a year. That was just finished with Sodom being destroyed. He believed that Hashem was going to make that happen. And now that he knew that Hashem was going to bless Hasori with a child, he had to find the right location to raise his child so the child would be influenced in the right way. He says, Kadesh can't be. In Shur, too much immorality. Begror, too much immorality, too much Avodah Zarah. I can't raise my child there. So I'm going to raise my child in no man's land. But I will sojourn to Geror. That means when my child gets older and he's able to understand the society around him, I will take him around and say to my child, you know, this is how we live, but you see how that person is speaking? No, we don't speak that way. And he'll do this next time in the neck of the trip. You see how this person is acting irresponsibly to his neighbor? He said, we don't do that. I mean, every time he was able to point something out and say to his son Yitzchak, we don't do that, he was training his son. he was being the role model in training Yitzchak to become Yitzchak Avinu, our forefather Yitzchak. We are all trying to grow. We are all trying to make a Kiddush Hashem. It's very, very difficult. The spectrum is very, very wide. A Chil Hashem could be somebody in public shouting irresponsibly words and things that are very inappropriate, and people know he's Jewish, and it's certainly called a Chil Hashem, and people will look down at Jews for their irresponsible behavior. On the other side of the spectrum, the Chofetz Chaim did mention that Chil Hashem is treating a mitzvah lightly. The person is callous in doing mitzvahs when he is on the madrega, he's on the level of doing mitzvahs correctly, and he doesn't, or doesn't make an effort, and he could, that's called Chil Hashem. Look at the span, look at the distance between my two examples, but it's still a Chil Hashem. Why? Because you're taking Hashem's mitzvahs and you are desecrating it, because this mitzvah is called an opportunity. We have 613 mitzvahs, which really is 613 opportunities. It's in our domain to make each mitzvah shine, each mitzvah become a dynamo of Kedusha for us, if we only allow it to tap into us. It's up to us. So we have to give this whole subject a lot of thought. How can we make a Kiddush Hashem? How can we avoid a Chil Hashem? Which mitzvahs are we up to doing properly rather than by rote? Which mitzvahs can we do with our heart and our mind with kavanah rather than just do it haphazardly? We have to think about that. Perhaps this is what the parasha was all about. The parasha of Emor ve'amarta, where the parasha starts off where the older Kohanim were instructed to teach the younger Kohanim, and by doing that, the Pirchei Kohanim would be making a Kiddush Hashem. We're being instructed by example of the Kohanim that we can do the same. Let's try to instruct the younger generation to do their best by being role models for them, so that we will get the benefit of making a Kiddush Hashem, training our children to make a Kiddush Hashem. And by this, there's no doubt that Hashem's honor will definitely be publicized, and he will be very proud of every one of the Jewish people making such an effort. Have a wonderful week, Kol Tov.